is an update regarding bills that actually were enacted and signed into law and they become effective next year, next month. There aren't very many of them that would be of interest to the CCR board, and there are none really that make changes to CERL. But I did find three that may be of interest, and so we'll go through those, and they're in your memo, your packet. The first one is AB 672, and that's a CalPERS change in the law, and it has to do with disability retirement and reinstatement into membership. This bill prohibits a person who's retired for a disability from being employed by any employer without reinstatement from retirement if the position is the position from which the person retired, or if the position includes duties and activities that the person was previously restricted from performing due to their disability. And so the bill would require that the new employer would provide to CalPERS information about that new position and the duties so that CalPERS can make that analysis and that determination. Next, we have AB 1819, and that is a change in the Public Records Act. It has to do with inspection of records. And this bill clarifies in the law that the agency has to allow the public to come in and use the public's own equipment to make copies of records, so long as that process doesn't damage the records or place undue burden on the agency. And lastly, we have AB 5, which has to do with the classification of workers as employees versus independent contractors. And that bill was approved by the governor, and it essentially codifies, puts into the statute, the Supreme Court decision in the Dynamex case. And that decision, this new law, would create a presumption that a worker is an employee for purposes of claims for wages and benefits under the Labor Code, the Unemployment Insurance Code, and the wage orders. And so it doesn't apply to other areas of the law, like the government code, for example, which is where we find our laws, the CERL and the PEPRA. It only applies to these three that I mentioned. It specifically says that a person providing labor or services for remuneration shall be considered an employee rather than an independent contractor unless the hiring entity demonstrates that the person is free from the control and direction of the hiring entity in connection with the performance of the work, that the person performs work that is outside the usual course of the hiring entity's business, and that the person is customarily engaged in an independently established trade, occupation, or business. And so if a company can make this showing, these three showings, then they can classify the employee as an independent contractor. But again, this is only for the purposes of the Labor Code, unemployment, insurance, and wage orders.
Okay. Any questions for Karen on any of these items? Seeing none, thank you, Karen.